How do I get a hold of you?
You just contact the mayor's office. He has a special signal that shines in the sky. It's in the shape of a giant cock.
Hello and welcome to episode 28 of the Super Podcast, and I'm your host, Super Marcy. And before we get started, I'll just send my apologies out to you listeners because I'm actually sick, so if I actually have to blow my nose or anything through the podcast, I apologize. But I've got a good show for you today. Well, hopefully it's a good show. We're going to be talking about Kick-Ass, and we're also going to run down some of our top most annoying film characters. And when I say we, that means I'm not alone. I have some guests for you. And I'm joined with, firstly, we'll jump to Bede, the terrible Australian who's making his comeback to the show.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks now, Marcy.
Yeah, sorry, I haven't extended the invitation to you.
That's all right, I've been busy with other things.
Are you telling me you actually have a life?
No. Maybe.
All right. So tell us, for this episode, what makes you a terrible Australian?
Okay, in theme with the episode, I have to admit, I'm a terrible Australian because I have seen Steel starring Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh my God.
No comment.
Let's just say it wasn't a very good experience, I can tell you that.
Yes, I think we need to kick you off the podcast for that one.
You think that's bad? I also saw Kazam as well.
Well, I'm guilty of also having seen Kazam, so I think I'll kick myself off the show. Alrighty. Well, at least now everyone knows why you are terrible, but we'll go to our next guest who's making his comeback. He was on a few weeks ago, and that would be Nick. Hello, Nick.
Oh. Hello, hello.
Hello,
been a
hello.
Few weeks for me as well.
Yes, this is your second time on the show.
For sure, I had a great time the first time.
Yes, although this time there's a few more people, so it's a bit different, but very cool.
I know. And three guys and a girl.
Yeah, that's a porn title right there.
Exactly.
And making his Super Podcast debut is Mr. Matches Malone. Hello.
How's it going?
Awesome.
I am so frightened of ever seeing the porn three guys and one girl.
I'm watching it right now.
Well, for the record, girls have three holes, so it makes sense.
Yeah, more information than I needed.
Well, if anybody wanted a picture of it, there you have it.
The internet is a very, very, very interesting place for things like that.
Yes. But the actual topic that we're going to discuss first has nothing to do with porn.
Damn it.
Sorry to disappoint. We're going to discuss a little movie called Kick-Ass.
Woohoo!
And I think it's safe to say that the film actually does kick ass.
Agreed.
Now, obviously,
sense of the word.
We've all seen it, so I would caution that there will probably be spoilers for anybody who hasn't seen it, and if you haven't seen it, there's something terribly wrong with you. So, we shall proceed. So, did you guys like the movie?
I hated it. It sucked.
Yes, it was awful.
Yeah, it sucked because it was over too soon.
Exactly. Honestly, it could have gone for hours. To be honest with you, if they should have just renamed the movie Hit Girl, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yes, Hit Girl.
She stole the whole thing.
Agreed.
I agree.
Yeah, definitely.
She was easily the best part of the movie.
Her chemistry along with, you know, Nick Cage, like Chloe Moretz, and even Nick Cage, who is making a massive comeback as an actor, as far as I'm concerned, with, you know, Kick-Ass and Bad Lieutenant and all that. Their chemistry together as Big Daddy and Hit Girl, just, I don't know. I thought it was sweet and funny, and like even, spoiler alert, when he's shooting bullets into her chest and, you know, teaching her not to be afraid and all that. Everyone may think that's demented and sick. I thought it was cute and funny. I don't know. Yeah,
I have to agree. It was actually kind of cool. Like, I didn't find anything about this movie disturbing.
No, but so many people around me thought so. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't know.
It wasn't the movie that I think was disturbing. I think what was disturbing is seeing the parents bring their kids to this movie. It says rated R, yet they still bring their kids to the movie. It's ridiculous because they think superheroes is all kid shit, and they'll still bring their kids even though it's this rated R. It's ridiculous. And
kids got in the first place.
Well, yeah. Fucking movie theaters should know enough to be like, ma'am, really? You want to do this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it, but I think our ratings are different, and I think it was it rated MA here? That means you have to be, like, 15 and over to see it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, because here in Canada, it's 18A, which means you can go see it if you have a guardian with you who's 18 or above.
Yeah, that's so, what MA is that kind of thing, too.
And here it's, yeah, if you have a guardian 17 and over, you can go see it. Except the thing is, it's not like it was even an older brother bringing these kids or an older sister.
Their parents.
Those are fucking parents. They should know better.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There's no research, and then they have the balls to complain after the movie's done.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, definitely agree, because there was, like, a thing on TV with a guy who's extremely stupid and he doesn't know anything.
He's a dick.
Yeah, Bede knows exactly who I'm talking about.
And he's like, happens to also be a dick, so yeah.
Yeah. He was going on just about how bad the movie was and all about Hit Girl and what a bad example it is, and it's like, dude, kids aren't supposed to be watching this. How is it a bad example? You're an idiot.
And to be honest with you, I actually think Hit Girl is a bit of a fun role model for kids, to be honest with you. Because seriously, like all these parents and all these politicians, everybody, you know, think violent video games and violent movies are bad. I'll bet you half these kids know all this dialogue, all these swear words, everything else from their parents. I know so many parents who swear endlessly around their kids, yet these parents will turn around and say, you know, Grand Theft Auto, it's too violent, blah, 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 you know. And it's like everybody's hypocrites. I can't stand it.
It's a blame everyone else society. And in our United Nations of podcasts that we have going on here with three different countries, it's nice to hear other countries have to deal with the same shit I have to. And it's ridiculous that everybody wants to blame somebody else for how their kid has been raised. You know what? Grow a fucking sack. You spit the kid out. Fucking do something about it and take care of it. You don't want him seeing a movie? Don't show it to him. Don't bring him to it. If you want to see it, get a fucking babysitter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that study they had on Joe Blow recently about the the study where they basically asked kids that if they were shown rated R movies at a much younger age, like they were more prone to smoke cigarettes and drink and, you know, do violent things as they grow up?
Briefly saw that, but that's a load of shit. I mean, I was watching things I shouldn't have been watching when I was like 5, and I turned out just fine. Well, so that's arguable, but
yeah.
I'm fine. I know the difference between real life and a movie, and if I see someone smoking in a movie, it's not going to make me want to go smoke.
Yeah,
I just look at my parents smoking, and it's like, that's gross. I don't want to do it.
I'm completely with you. I mean, I grew up, I think I was 5 or 6 when I saw The Shining for the first time, and like, Marcy's kind of heard this when she was on my podcast. Like, I grew up with horror movies, and you know what? I've tried cigarettes twice. Both times made me violently ill. No movie's going to make me do anything else. With horror movies, I'm still scared of my parents, and I'm 31 fucking years old. There's no way I'd be doing anything. And it's because, you know, I saw that stuff, but I knew what was fantasy and what was real. Fantasy was watching shit happen on TV. Real was my dad smacking me. I'm good. You know,
well, that's not good.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
That's what kept me. Hey, I didn't do shit because I didn't want to get hit. It worked out well. My brother
kept you grounded, basically.
Exactly. I saw what happened. My brother's 7 years younger than me, so he learned swears a little bit quicker than I did and everything. And he learned. He got liquid soap in his mouth once. Fucker never swore around my parents again.
Yeah. And it all boils down right to the parents again.
Yep.
Yep.
You know,
it's basically, and it was the same thing for me. My mom and dad, I said on the Joe Blow thing that, you know, I remember sitting with my mom when I was 7 years old watching the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which can be devastating to any child. But, you know, she explained to me that I was scared watching it. There's some freaky shit going on in that movie. But, you know, she explained to me that, you know, this and that, and I'd sit down and watch, you know, like Die Hard 2 with my dad when I'm like 6, and he'd explain, you know, it's just, you know, all make-believe, it's not real, and things like that. And good parenting goes a long way, and I don't know. It's like parents are blameless these days for anything.
Well, they want to remain blameless because they don't want to take responsibility.
Exactly.
This guy, but not only that, think of the children.
Well, when somebody please think of the children.
So you think about that, but the thing is, even adults don't want to take blame for what they do. I mean, you look at the stupid shit of why our coffee has to say extremely hot now. It's because some bitch held it between her legs and accidentally spilled it on herself. It's coffee. It's meant to be fucking hot. Like, and then she sues, and we allow her to get millions of dollars. Nobody wants to take responsibility for their own fucking mistakes, and because of that, we blame everything else that surrounds us. And, you know, Kick-Ass, I knew it based on when I read the comic, when the comic first came out, and they said right away, oh, this is being made in a movie at the same time, everything else. I knew shit was going to hit the fan, and it's just because things they are going. And I praise Matthew Vaughn for not pulling the punches and going all out and doing it. There's a reason
he couldn't get studio funding.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Is it, seeing as you've read it and I haven't read it, is it like really faithful to the comic?
Okay, well, I'm a good comic fan, yet also a bad comic fan. I stopped picking up because I got frustrated when they kind of started skipping deadlines because they were working on the movie at the same time. And I only read the first five comics, I think, or what I picked up. So I missed, I think, the last two or three.
Okay.
I haven't read those. Yeah, from what I've heard, it's changed a little, but most people haven't complained too much about the changes. There was one change that my friends were complaining about. I didn't ask them what it was, but I know they had one change. And you guys can say it if you want, what that change might have been.
Well, I don't know what it is.
I'm not exactly sure myself, but for the most part, they said, like, the origins, like, the little story about how, you know, Big Daddy and Hit Girl came together, and that origin story was very well told. And it all came down, really, to the villain, like, when it came to Frank DiMaggio, or DiMaggio, I can't remember even how it went.
DiMaggio?
Whatever the fuck it is.
Well, if it's an Italian pronunciation, it's DiMaggio.
Yeah, that's it. And, like, the origins of that, like, that obviously changed, but I think that was just more to play on the fun aspect of the movie, like the ending with Hit Girl going on a rampage and things like that. But other than that, no, the origins, especially of Kick-Ass himself, were spot on, like, definitely, how he started, where his influences were, and, you know, the violent beatings he took before he kind of settled into his character, things like that.
Cool.
Yep.
Well, that's good then.
Brilliant. Yeah, I mean, most people I know that saw the movie that were familiar with the comic and everything, none of them complained, and that says a lot when it comes to comic book fans, because we're fucking retards about that shit.
Yeah.
What? I've read all 8 issues, and yeah, I don't have any really big complaints about it.
No.
Although,
the
cast,
brilliant.
Yeah.
It was really interesting. Like, it is different. Like Big Daddy and Hit Girl's backstory is a bit different. And, like, even, like, Big Daddy's death scene was different from the comic book as well. Because in the comic book, he just gets shot in the head, and that's about it.
It was a bit more dramatic in the movie.
Yeah. The thing was, in the comic book, and spoilers for both,
well,
for the comic book.
I think we've said spoilers for
this. And I'm not worried about it. I'll eventually get the hardcover through Amazon so nobody thinks I'm being a fanboy.
No, not at all. But continue.
Oh, was I talking? Or
yes, you were talking.
I'm just sort of recap, like, just like, because I heard Matches' show the other day with where Nikki Stevens was on it, and it was funny. So, so, anyways, as I was saying,
go on, Tom, here.
Yeah. The backstory is different. Is that you find out Big Daddy isn't actually like isn't out for revenge or anything. He isn't an ex-cop whose wife was killed or anything. He was actually just a comic book fan who, like, kidnapped his own daughter and decided to, like spend all, like, sell all of his comics that he had. So he had the money to fund getting weapons and to train her to become an assassin. And you find out about that in the scene before he gets shot in the head. So that was different from, that's played out differently in the movie. And I like sort of both yeah. both ways how they went with it. But I don't
I can see why version, they would do that.
Yeah, the comic book version was a bit more interesting, but I still enjoy that they went with the straightforward, you know, ex-cop seeking revenge angle in the movie as well.
Mm. Gave it a little bit more, the characters a little more credibility, in my opinion.
Yeah, a bit more weight. Yeah.
For what they were doing, yeah.
Mm. Well, especially comic book fans are used to stories like that where, you know, origins kind of start like that. General public isn't as much. So to give them something grounded where they can feed off of based on other things they've seen where, oh, you know, somebody's wife dies, so they go for revenge. It's a little bit easier to take in for them. So
yeah, big time. And the fact that, you know, the drug dealers and all them that they kill, they're funded by, you know, taking all their drug money or, you know, and selling the drugs that they have for more money and things like that. And kind of turns all the bosses against each other and, you know, throughout it was really well done.
Yeah, you actually want to see them get, you know, shot and smacked around and everything.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to Hit Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Watching her take revenge, and another thing I love about the movie, and one thing that Matthew Vaughn's always had a very unique gift in, is choosing music for his movies.
Yeah.
And some of the songs used in Kick-Ass are absolutely classic, like right down to the Banana Splits and everything. Just everything fit. And then using John Murphy's brilliant score from 28 Days Later and Sunshine, like, just added so much.
Yeah.
Just brilliant pieces, especially, like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen Layer Cake or...
Layer Cake and Stardust, own them both. Yeah. And phenomenal.
Stardust, so underrated, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I like both movies. Sorry.
Now everyone goes quiet.
But I agree. The use of, like, the 28 Days Later music and also the Sunshine music was very effective in those scenes and amped up, like, both the awesomeness and also the emotions of each of those scenes. It just really elevated to another level.
Yep.
Mm.
McLovin.
McLovin.
He was fantastic in the role. I was worried about him, but I just thought he played it perfectly. As much as he'll always be McLovin to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought he was a riot. I thought he had great chemistry with Mark Strong, and when he threw on the costume, he turned into a different guy, in my opinion. I just loved it.
Mm.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah, it's definitely his best role since playing McLovin, for sure.
Yeah, oh, yeah, big time.
What else? I enjoyed Role Models, though. Like, his role in Role Models.
Oh, he was great in that.
Yeah, it was basically written to be kind of a McLovin-type nerd guy anyway, but...
That movie was in his safety zone, basically.
Exactly. It was the Michael Cera theme where, you know, we just put him in the exact same type of role and he'll do fine.
Don't mention that. I swear to God. You know what? He may be the only reason I don't go see Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I can't stand him. And just the thought that he might somehow be Chris Evans, you know, like, he's going to be all these cool characters in this movie, just makes me want to puke. I can't stand it. I hate him as an actor so much. He has no talent. Call me wrong. Go right ahead. The guy has never gone beyond his character of George Michael in Arrested Development. He's never changed.
And that's the only, Scott Pilgrim's the last chance I'm giving him. And I do want to see the movie, I'll see it. If he pulls it off again where he does the same fucking thing, I'm completely done. Because the shtick's gotten old. It's just not working anymore.
And the trailer is not a good indication that there's change.
No, it's not.
Because even the part where I remember bursting out laughing one part in the trailer where about halfway through, he turns to the camera and says, "I'm going to tear them apart." And he puts on this little tough guy face, and I just fucking burst out laughing. I'm like, it's George Michael trying to be tough again. And like, I'm like, okay, I'm done. But the only reason I'd see it is because of the people he's fighting, and it's Edgar Wright. I mean, what can you say?
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, enough of that guy.
Yes.
But even the guy, who was the guy who played Kick-Ass? Aaron Johnson, yeah. He was fantastic, too.
Yeah.
I thought he just, for a first-time lead role, I just thought he played the character to perfection. Yeah. And I can't believe how shy he is in real life. I don't know if you guys have ever seen any of his interviews or... late night talk show. Holy crap, he's fumbling. I remember he went on Jimmy Kimmel, I remember, about a week before it came out, and Jimmy was dying because he couldn't answer a single question. He was twiddling his thumbs, playing with his water bottle. He's unbelievably the most uncomfortable person in front of a crowd. Yet he played that character so well. It's unbelievable.
Based on what you just said, and going back to something we were kind of talking about before the podcast, I had this idea and I want to see what you guys would think. How do you feel if he was to play Peter Parker?
Well, he probably wouldn't be able to play Peter Parker now because he's kick-ass. But he does have the look for Peter Parker.
I think he's got the look and the personality.
Yeah.
I think he's got it.
Yeah, he's got it.
I hope they don't make Kick-Ass a franchise. I really hope they don't. And based on what I saw from that, I was like, you know what? He might be a good choice who could play that. He could play that awkward type Peter Parker that we didn't get with Tobey Maguire, who I love the Spider-Man franchise, but I never liked Tobey Maguire. I would have liked to see that. And I mean, he had a physique where he could play Spider-Man, and I think be pretty cool. And he also seems like a guy who could drop some witty banter.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm. Yeah. He could possibly
I can agree with that to an extent, but since like the character that he plays, Dave Lewinsky is pretty much like supposed to be based partially on Peter Parker. Anyway. On so it's kind of like playing, like being typecast in a way.
So well, they even joke about it in the movie, you know, like even in the story, like when his mom dies. And, you know, you're not going to be seeing this. And it's him standing over his mother's grave screaming, I'm going to avenge you and shit like that. And he even lives in a house that's very similar to what Peter Parker's was in the movie.
It's the same street. it looks like the same street that he lived on.
And which, funny enough, was actually filmed in the city that I currently go to school and work in, Hamilton, Ontario. And it's a riot, like, seeing the shot, and I can see, oh, there's Hamilton General Hospital. I go there all the time. It's in play, and it's his freaking house in the neighborhood. But I could see him putting on the mask. But I have to. Who said that? He's probably going to be Kick-Ass from now on.
Oh, me. That was me. Because they're doing a sequel.
Because I agree with you. Because I think he'll. He'll always be Kick-Ass at this point. And I'd love a sequel, to be honest with you, because I love what they're going for.
I've been reading, like, interviews with Mark Millar, and he said, like, he's working on a sequel at the moment, and I think it's going to be called, like, the subtitle's going to be, like, called Balls to the Wall.
They should just make a Hit Girl spin-off.
The thing is, like, the... From what I read, because I read this interview, and he said the sequel is going to be sort of similar to like a history of violence, in which, you know, like has like Kick-Ass and Hit-Girl sort of living their normal lives, and then some supervillain, coming after them, trying to get them back into the game.
A history of violence.
Can I just say, horrible. I hate you right now because you brought up something that would make me actually like to see that movie. Because if they did like History of Violence, I that might be kind of cool. Like, yeah, if it takes place like 10 years down the road or something, that'd be cool.
Well, I'll tell you what, if Ed Harris is in it, then I'm definitely there. I actually hate that movie, but that's a whole other discussion.
Bring William Hurt in as a crazy guy and I'll be all for it.
How he got nominated for that movie for an Oscar is absolutely beyond
me. He was awesome in that movie.
Yet Ed Harris got nothing, and he was 10 times the... He did... so much better than Hurt. I don't understand it. I think the Academy's out to burn Ed Harris. I don't know. I consider him one of the greatest actors that ever lived, yet he has nothing. I don't know. Anyway, say that for the next podcast. I'm passionate. I don't know. Anyway, sorry, Marcy.
No problemo.
So what were we talking about?
We were actually talking about Kick-Ass.
There's one thing I have to say, like back to sort of like, you know, changes from the comic book and everything. There's one aspect from the comic book that I did like, and I was just somewhat sad that they changed it, is the fact that you don't find out that Red Mist is actually the son of Mark Strong's character until it leaves towards the end of the series.
Whereas in the movie, it straight away shows up. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the movie, like, I kept reading, like, synopsis and reviews and all that. And Red Mist is the son of Gangster Frank DeMarco. I was like, why are you spoiling the movie? You're
not supposed to. But it's like one of the early things that you find out in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I thought that was like, you know, they're ruining like a twist until I actually saw the movie and you just find out
from the
very
beginning. Yeah, it's not actually a twist. You just know it straight away.
Yeah, but in the comic book, it's a twist.
Yeah, but in the movie,
not only is it like. Sorry.
Keep going. No, you go.
I was going to say, like, but not only like that, and then, you know, they'll come back and say, well, you're a comic book geek. You've probably, you know, read the graphic novel here and there and over again. But they don't realize that, you know, with any movie, with any comic book figure, no matter who it is, there are always going to be changes. And you don't know who's going to be father to who's going to be brother to who. They could have made Red Mist and, you know, Kick-Ass long-distance cousins, who knows, you know?
And
if they spoil that, then they don't, you know, it ruins it.
Yeah. And another thing, like, in the comic book that I actually liked, and actually this was a change in the movie I was happy about. In the comic book, towards the last issue, Kick-Ass says actually tell Katie that he's not gay. And let's just say it does not end well.
No, it doesn't.
Well, in the movie, it was kind of like, when he tells her, like, when she finds out everything, and it's like, yeah, I'm so going to react that way, not. That was a bit, right.
In the comic book, it's funny, because, like, he tells her, she gets really pissed, and she gets her boyfriend to beat the shit out of him, and later on she, like, sends him a text message of him sucking her boyfriend's cock to
him. That would have been fun.
Could you imagine translating that into a movie?
Hell yeah.
She sent me a picture of her sucking her boyfriend's cock, and I admit I do jerk off to it from time to time, but it's still my jobs. That was a change, because like I was sort of like, oh, I hope he gets with Katie at some point, and you find it. But I suppose being the real life aspect of what the comic book was going for, it makes sense. And I think in the movie, even though it was a change I was happy about, I felt like it seemed a little rushed. Like she was like, "Oh, yeah, okay, you're Kick-Ass and you're not gay. I'll have sex with you now."
It was just a bit rushed.
Well,
and
like
just,
when he reaches to to grab her boobs and whatnot, it's like, and she's like, "Today," and it's like, "Okay, come on, like seriously, seriously, Marcy, if you were, you know, if you knew the guy and he'd seen you like practically naked, you watched the ugly." What was it, the Ugly Betty box set together, and then all of a sudden he tells you he's not gay and he's Kick-Ass, how would you react? Would you be like super pissed at him?
I'd be really pissed off at him, and he wouldn't be touching my boobs that quick.
Okay.
Maybe a little later on down the line.
Yeah, maybe down the line. But not that quick.
But not at the immediate moment. No. But overall I think the movie without question belonged to Chloe Moretz, who definitely has a massive future ahead of her. I cannot wait to see her in, as much as I loathe our movie being made, the remake of Let the Right One In.
Yeah.
Because I've actually heard a few things saying she's amazing in the character, but her, overall, it was her movie, and if they did make another one, I hope they focus more on her.
Yeah.
Well, even if you guys have seen 500 Days of Summer, she's not in the movie a lot. But she comes across, she plays Joseph Gordon-Levitt's sister, and this doesn't throw anything off because she starts right in the beginning.
Yeah.
And, like, even in that, she has this age to her. Like, she just comes across as older in that, just like she does with Hit Girl.
Yeah.
And she makes you believe that she is that way. And I'll admit, I'm a complete nerd, and I actually, through Somebody to Somebody, I started following her on Twitter. The girl's fucking hilarious.
Too.
Yeah.
I follow it too.
I don't. Maybe I should.
I think I should too. I'll bet you her parents are.
Yeah, definitely. And I must be complaining, like, how could anybody raise their kid to be like this and everything else? You know what? I guarantee she says those things and everything else, but her parents probably keep her in check. And she seems educated and smart enough to know the difference between what's real and what she's acting as and who she is in real life. And you can kind of tell that from her Twitter stuff and everything. And people talk about the parents, but if parents are honest with their kids, there's nothing wrong with that. And, sure, the chick's making a buck or whatever doing that, but as long as they're honest and she knows, hey, this is acting versus what I'm acting like when I go to school and things like that, it's fine.
Yeah, I've seen her in an interview, and she seems, very mature for her age, and I think she knows what she's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Like, it reminds me of a young me, because I was very mature when I was younger.
Were you slicing and dicing gangsters?
Oh, yeah, I was. Yeah, yeah. I've since retired, because, once I turned 13, I had to give up that life.
I will say, though, I believe Marcy going around calling people cunts, I do believe that. But the knife throwing, I'm not sure about.
Telling people that there's a giant signal in the sky that's shape of a cock. That was the one line where I was like, okay, this is like, this movie is going to sweep the Golden Schmoes at Joe Blow in every way, shape, or form. Every category she's going to win.
You know what my favorite moment is in this movie? It's not like one of the, even though there are a lot of big moments, and I love those moments too, but there's this tiny moment in the movie that made me laugh my ass off, and it's only a small moment. It's when Hit Girl and Big Daddy go see Kick-Ass at his house, and it's like, Kick-Ass is like, they're talking about, his website, and so if you want us, put your website on, and Nicolas Cage is like, if you want us, put your website on vacation and we'll find you. Quick, back to the headquarters, Hit Girl.
And that was the genius of Nick Cage. And then I remember seeing that on opening night, and right after that, when Big Daddy's gone out the window and Hit Girl turns back to him and blows him a kiss, I swear to you, every single person in the theater just went, oh,
yeah,
that's so wrong. I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest movie ever. But I don't know, and then Nick Cage, just, man, oh, man. Every scene, he just nailed.
He was awesome, yeah.
Whether it was as Big Daddy or as, just every single moment. I don't know. I was going to say, even when he's applying his makeup, it was just pure badass.
Yeah.
Every little bit.
It's actually refreshing just to see him, actually be good and not overly Nicolas Cage. Yeah, and he was definitely channeling some Adam West there, and I think he admitted, he did do that, but I think he's been wanting to play a superhero for a long time, and he really, you could tell he really enjoyed it, and that was good.
The Ghost Rider didn't work out.
Well, yeah, no. I mean, yeah, the less said about that, the better.
I loved, because he did the Adam West voice, and that was hilarious, but it was funny, though, because reading interviews like Matthew Vaughn about how, they got Nick, because Nicolas Cage, when he showed up the set, he just did that voice, and nobody was sure what the hell he was doing. and I was reading an interview, and Matthew Vaughn, after the first day of shooting, he went to watch dailies, and his editor, and they're watching the scene of him just doing this really weird voice, and they're not sure why is he doing it, and the editor said, I think he lost at least one day's worth of shooting. And Matthew Vaughn just thought about it, and said, play that back again, and then he watched it again, and he realized, holy crap, he's doing Adam West.
I think they actually, keep going.
No, I was just saying, he just made that up on, improvised that. He just created that voice for the character. And everyone's like, what the hell? Should we tell him that he's, this is bad? What do we do?
It turns out to be the whole, the funniest aspect of the whole movie. Every time he speaks.
Yeah. Yeah,
we routed your IP address. Finding you as a piece of cake. I'm like,
back to the headquarters.
Back to headquarters. apparently he faced off with Adam West. I think he went on Jay Leno or something
that. I could have seen that. I read about that later.
I think it was in Batman trivia or something like that. He faced off with Adam. It was like a surprise. Don't know who won, though. And then there was the switch to kryptonite.
Oh, that line. That was... Yeah. Even though that was kind of sad, he's burning alive, but just how he was screaming that out loud, it was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Switch to the grip and die!
Revenge of Robin! I gotta admit to you, though, I'm very, comfortable with my emotions, but I teared up pretty bad during that scene together after he's been burned, because he was so good. You know, the fact that, he's covered in burns, and yet he's asking her if she's okay, and, you know, and it all, I don't know. Scenes like that grabbed me, and I just thought it was so well done.
They're there.
I know.
My audience was the same as well. They were like,
that's all right.
There were some guys laughing in mine.
I went by myself, and there wasn't many people in there, so I enjoyed it because there was no idiots talking through the movie.
Mm.
It was an enjoyable experience.
My audience was a bit awkward because when I walked in, I saw a mother there with a kid who looked like he was like 12, 13 years old. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
This will be fun.
This is going to be the most uncomfortable cinema experience since I saw Forgetting Sarah Marshall, because I saw that by myself, and then I was like, the movie's about to start, and all of a sudden, two old people.
Dude, I saw that movie with my mum.
And I'm thinking, oh, this is not going to end well.
I saw that movie with my mum, and there's like dick on the screen. Right?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Could you imagine, when that came out, it was rated PG.
The first one.
And could you imagine... It wasn't rated R up here in Canada.
Oh, no.
It was PG. And I'm telling you, I sat, and you probably remember, you know, the scenes with penis and, you know, plenty of
penis
that.
Penis through the door.
I was surrounded by little girls the whole time for the entire movie.
Man. Oh, no.
Like, no more than 10 years old. I swear to you, I've never heard so much screaming from a parent at the front customer desk in my life. But they were totally right in doing so, because it looks like just a straight out comedy with like nothing, like no sexual stuff in it, but it was rated PG.
Yeah.
It was just unreal. But that was the most embarrassing, I thought, because I'm sitting there covering my face. I'm like, oh my God, what is happening? It's hilarious, but what is happening?
Oh man, that's just wrong.
I'm sure it was rated R everywhere else, but I don't think my theater got the memo.
No, apparently not.
No.
All right. Should
it was tight, though. It was a riot.
Should we talk ratings, like what we rated the movie?
Like what, 10 scale?
Yeah, out of 10. Nick, you can go first. Because you're umming and ahhing, you go first.
I guess I always get burned for this because I always rate movies higher than maybe I should. But, you know, based on, I haven't read all of the graphic novel, you know, every piece of it, but I'd probably have to say, based on what I know about it and how, you know, Matthew Vaughn did not cheap out and he kept everything pretty consistent and delivered probably my favorite comic book movie of all time, even though it's not really a superhero thing. I give it a solid 9 out of 10.
Okay, and 10. Matches? What's your rating out of 10?
It's tough. I absolutely loved it, and almost very few movies ever get 10 out of 10 for me, so it kind of sets it up. I'd probably have to give it, in all honesty, we'll go 8 out of 10. I was closer to a 7 out of 10 after I first saw it, but the more I've thought about it, the more I really enjoyed it. And who knows, it could go up based on replay value and everything. Mm. But I'd say 8 out of 10 is completely fair. I really enjoyed it. I will say the little bit of a red mist set up the sequel thing at the end was a little harsh on me. I wasn't as much for that. I actually, if they were going to make a sequel, I'd rather them not set it up like that and then just go ahead and do it. It just seems so standard Hollywood. That irked me a bit. But otherwise, I mean, everything was great. Everything, you know, with Nick Cage and all the actors. So let's go 8 out of 10.
Okay. And Bede?
Oh, well, I gave it out of 10. Well, usually I rate out of 5, but out of 10, I'd give it a 10 out of 10. And it's my first big rating of the year so far. But then again, I give out more 5 stars than Roger Ebert. So
yeah, Ebert gave that 1 out of I cannot,
fuck
still
that
can't
guy.
Get over
Ebert's
that.
Ebert's a fuck.
And he gave The Losers 3.5 out of 4 stars. You've got to be kidding me.
You know,
and like, I'm sure it's... What's
it's
that?
Weird, though, because like, he gave that just based on Hit Girl alone and what, you know, him.
Yeah, I know.
That's it. And not everything else. And that's... Whenever I see a 1-star review and they're just talking about Hit Girl, they're not like talking about anything else, whether, like, you know, the other act, if the acting is good or if it's well made, they just gave it 1 because, you know, Hit Girl is like killing bad guys and saying cunt.
Yeah,
I think the one thing that bugged him the most, what I got out of his review, is the fact that he really couldn't stomach watching her getting beat, like, especially at the end of it by D'Amico. You know, he kicks her and she's freaking bleeding out of her nose and he's beating her against the table, but she's equally kicking the shit out of him.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know.
I didn't have a problem with it. Yeah.
But that part was needed to show her getting her ass kicked a bit, because that's what, again, brought it back down to reality. The whole idea of the movie is it's supposed to be heroes in reality. To have her do everything and not get a scratch on her destroys what the movie stands for.
Yeah. Or the part where she ran out of ammo and things like that. And, which is one of the funniest moments of the whole thing. Like, she's got to squirm. You know, she's behind the counter. She's out of ammo. Laughing, I got to get the bazooka.
Yeah.
Bazooka?
Bazooka? That's the weirdest sound of bazooka I've ever heard. Comic.
Good stuff. Well, so my rating, because I'm going to talk about my rating, it's 9 out of 10, because out of 5, I gave it 4.5, so 4.5 plus 4.5 is 9.
Woohoo! Chicken head!
I know! That's about the best I can do for math, so. Yeah.
We're a diploma.
Yes, please. Yeah. Because I really enjoyed the movie and I had a lot of fun, and I can't wait to see it again, but it'll have to wait till DVD because I'm too poor to go to the movies. Well, to go see a movie again. I have to spend my money to see movies I haven't seen, so. yeah, so I would say we all really like the movie.
Agreed.
I take it all back. I hated it.
Yeah, what a shit fest.
It's a piece of shit, and I hope it dies in hell.
Speaking of things that should die in hell, we'll move on to our next segment, which is the most annoying movie characters. Well, our most annoying movie characters.
This is going to get ugly.
Yeah, well, I've asked everyone to kind of narrow it down to like about 3.
That was tough.
Yeah, it was. I'll randomly pick one of you to go first. So, Matches, you can go first. Just give, right. Say, we'll count down. We'll go 3, 2, 1. So, give us your number 3.
Shit, you're going to make me go in a fucking order.
Yes. Well, it doesn't have to be, but just say for a list, it'll be 3.
Come on, be strong. Okay. So, not going in order. He could probably fit as my number 3. I'm going to go with Chris Tucker as Ruby Rod from Fifth Element.
How dare you?
I love that movie. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely love that movie. But he is fucking annoying as all.
I fucking love him.
Ruby Rod, you name it.
I kind of got to lean towards the more annoying part.
But... yeah, we have the Super Green Gemini Grocery Contest.
I'm apathetic towards him.
I could quote him throughout that entire movie. I thought... you know what? I think that's the only good role Chris Tucker's ever done.
All Friday, to be honest with you.
What about Jackie Brown?
What's that?
He was in Jackie Brown too.
Yeah, for like 2 minutes. Oh, that's true. When he comes out of the trunk here, what are you doing, motherfucker? That was funny. That was good. I will admit that.
But I love that movie, but like when I think of annoying characters in movies, like that was the first one that came to my mind. I'm like, fucking Chris Tucker in it. Like the movie, it's amazing how well that movie still holds up too. Like I love the special effects and everything. It's a phenomenal movie, but yeah, he and you've nailed everything with your quotes from him. Like, yeah, it's just ridiculous.
He's just I don't know why, but maybe it's his interactions with Bruce, because Bruce just like it puts him in his place right away, or maybe it's the ridiculous outfits. I mean, I take my hat off to him for not telling Luc Besson to go fuck himself, like after saying this is what you're gonna wear, Chris. You know, as your character. I just thought he was a good sport. I didn't know who he was before that movie, and I don't know. He always stuck with me. I thought it was funny. I didn't see Jackie Brown until years later after that movie.
I'm just glad I picked a controversial one to start with. That's awesome.
I knew this was going to happen. But anyway.
All right. So who's up next? I'll go next because I don't want to go last. this is really hard. To actually like come up with a list because there's a lot of annoying characters, but I had to go with Cammy in Street Fighter, played by Kylie Minogue. Oh, it was like one of the worst things ever.
She's hot.
Australia represent.
She's so fucking annoying. She can't act.
No, she can't, but she's hot, so she's forgiven.
I just, every time she's on the screen, I want to shoot myself in the head.
True, she was horrible in that movie.
And, I mean, everyone in this movie is pretty horrible, but she sticks out a lot. And honorable mention goes to the guy that plays Zangief in the movie. He was so bad.
I can't remember who played
whoever it was.
Where's Studi?
No, Zangief.
It was Andrew Brynarski.
Oh, thank you. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
IMDb, quick.
Yes, go on the IMDb.
That's what I was on.
But yeah, just truly, truly terrible, and she ruined the character so bad.
Yeah, but she wasn't much of a character anyway.
No, but, you know, just as annoying characters, guys, I'm going to shoot myself in the head. And for the list, giving an honourable mention, this would have been number four if we had, like, a top four, would be Micah from Paranormal Activity.
Oh, I don't agree with that.
He can go fuck himself.
Yeah, he was annoying, but in a good way to me.
Yeah, he was annoying, and I want to kill him.
Point.
He's a douchebag.
He was a douche, but in a very... yeah, he was the total skeptic boyfriend, you and know, always... and there's a lot of them out there, you know.
I fucking hated him, and I want him to... Oh, man. I wanted to shove that Ouija board up his ass.
I will admit, he was being a bit of a fucking douche with that, but, like, overall, he took it too far in the end, but the fact... The only thing I didn't like about him is that he... didn't pick her up and carry her down to the fucking car and drive away with her. That was the only thing I didn't like about him.
Yeah, but the demon would have came with her anyway.
They would have what?
The demon would have came with them anyway. Yeah, like the demon went everywhere they went.
But here was the point, and here's how I saw it. The fact of the matter is, the only reason it was able to get a hold of her is because it was draining her, it was tiring her out, she couldn't get sleep. My theory was, if you surround her with friends constantly, she has a lot of friends, it was obvious in the role, and keep her surrounded by friends, sleep in shifts around her, you know, make sure that she's sleeping, she's not going to hurt herself, things like that, and wait till this exorcist or whatever arrives. I don't know. There were so many scenarios going through my head watching that movie, and the fact that the boyfriend just was not interested in solving the problem was pretty annoying. So, you know what? Now that I think about it, yeah, he is getting annoying. Mercy.
I subbed out how I felt about him in the movie. He was like, you know, like he was like, has male insecurities. So that's
I can't deal with this ghost, but I'm a man.
It's like, we're not going to get, like, an exorcist. I'm the man in this house. I'm going to deal with this ghost demon thing. That's what he
was exactly. I'm going to wear my little shorts around the house and threaten and yell at it.
All right. Seeing as you're going on a rant, you should go next, Nick.
Oh, and I cut in and just say one more thing about that. So with him, my problem was that he mocked her more than helped her. Like, even though the demon might have gone with, if he would have even tried to help her, like, I would have felt better about it. But the fact that he didn't and mocked her through most of it. I'm sorry, you see the fucking Ouija board start on fire? You get the fuck out of a house. Like, there's no way you stay there. And, like, he's just like, oh, we'll stay here, we'll be fine.
You always live by Eddie Murphy's code when it comes to a haunted house. Guaranteed, you know? Too bad, can't stay. But, my turn, eh?
Yes.
You want me to name everything or
just one. Just number three, say.
Okay. Well, for an honorable mention, I try not to go with the typical, you know, characters that are considered really annoying. But, okay, so for an honorable mention, I'm going to have to say the guy who plays Dracula in Van Helsing. I don't know if any of you...
Richard Roxburgh.
I cannot remember... I felt like Dracula, like Bram Stoker, was being raped in his grave by Richard. I swear to you, in the first 5 minutes, I was ready to walk out. He is the worst. Like, it was the worst adaptation of Dracula of all time. I was annoyed every word that came out of his mouth, and the character was just... And I'm not saying it was bad acting. That doesn't make the annoying character. But it was just this prima donna Dracula that I just absolutely hated, and I think it definitely scalded Dracula's name for quite a long time. So that's my honorable mention.
Yeah.
I
was going to say I like Richard Roxburgh. He's a good actor, but he needs to stop starring in big budget movies because he's always acting that. You know, it's like in Mission Impossible 2. A friend of mine, we always quote this one line from Mission Impossible 2 that he's in. It's like, yeah, but you don't. Be careful, you don't know who you might run into.
No tracers, she's clean.
Oh my god.
I love his one-liners.
We just quote that line all the time. It's hilarious.
That really hurt my throat when I laughed then, but yeah.
Raise your hands very slowly. Raise your hands very slowly.
Okay, we get the point, Rich. So anyway, number three goes to another Paranormal Activity type film, except it was the first of its kind.
Yeah.
The Chick from Blair Witch Project.
Oh, yeah. Fucking stupid bitch.
Without question, the one character that killed that entire movie for me, her constant screaming and belligerence.
And her nose running.
Like, what's that?
And her running nose down the camera.
Yeah, and her running nose and her bullshit screaming into the forest, who's there? And I fucking hated her character. I was almost wishing that the guys would bail on her. And just say, fuck you, bitch, we're gone. I don't know. She just drove me nuts. Definitely one of the most annoying characters of all time. Especially when that one guy goes missing. Or, no, sorry, not that scene. But you remember, I don't know if you guys remember, when the guy said that he kicked the map into the river?
Yeah.
Or something like that?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? And I'm like, is screaming really going to help the situation? Like, okay, you're retarded and things like, I don't know. But anyway, I could rant about it all day.
She was annoying.
Oh, she was horrible.
She's a girl. There, all girls scream, so.
I know, but I like
sorry,
Marcy,
but it's true.
Scream like that.
No, I do the good kind of screaming.
Yeah,
the good kind of screaming.
The like screaming
punch him
in
the throat,
pleasure.
I think. Punch him in the throat. I think that'd be a lot more entertaining. Do you want me to name my one and two, or
no? We're gonna V's gonna name his number three because he hasn't gone yet, right?
Okay.
All right. Go
be
now.
Three. So from a recent, it's only I'm not is is those three annoying kids from Rec 2.
Oh, they were dicks, man.
They were just they were so fucking annoying. Like the movies, I love the movie and all, but as soon as they come into the picture, the movie just grinds to a halt.
My favorite scene though, and you're absolutely right, and I fucking hate them. But the one scene that I loved is when they finally found that those two guys in the house. And one of the kids is yelling at the fireman, and all of a sudden the fireman comes out and wallops the kid. I don't know if you remember that scene. And the kid grabs his jaw and he starts crying and running away. I was like, thank you.
It's like he was what the audience was thinking. It's like, you know, the audience is watching this. I'm going to slap this kid right now.
Yeah.
He's going to love it.
Yeah, it's an awesome movie, but yeah, those were fuckheads, man.
Yeah,
you guys suck. I haven't been able to see it yet, so like, yeah, I'm just like, you're assholes. I want to see that damn movie.
Well, it's not really a spoiler. I mean, there's annoying teens.
We're not spoiling anything.
There's annoying teens.
That's not why I'm calling you an asshole.
That's because we've all seen it.
You suck.
Believe me, you know what? I've seen it through illegal means, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yes, I didn't see it in the nicest way.
We were naughty.
I'm naughty too.
It fell into my lap.
It just wound up somewhere and I just found it.
Alright.
Anyway, it was fantastic.
It was, but one of the things was annoying, like in their segment, like in both, like there's three segments, like in their segment though, like the camera, how the camera is used in the first and third segment is that like they keep it a little bit still, like, you know, like, even though it's handheld, but at least you can see what's going on.
Oh, yeah, it's a bit more crazy with them, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, just take the fucking camera still, why don't you?
There was a lot more shaky cam in the second one. I think they kind of developed a little further from the first one.
Mm. Yeah.
All right.
They were annoying. I hate them.
All right. I'm going to go with me now for two, because I don't want to talk about those annoying kids anymore.
She's just fucking completely skipping over me.
Yeah, well, everyone gets a shot, but I just decided I'm going to go next.
It's Marcy's show.
Yeah, I can do what I want, bitches. My number two is a tied position, and I feel that I can pick characters that are CGI.
Okay.
I'm going with Jar Jar Binks from the Star Wars prequels because he's an annoying fuckhead.
And the number one on every single list on the internet.
Well,
every
yeah.
Every single one.
He needs to be mentioned, but I'm not going to really go into detail.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. I'm just mentioning a fact.
Yeah.
I remember searching through it, and he is number one.
He's a fuckhead, so.
Oh, he was there for the kids.
He was there to piss me off, pretty much. He was a just, yeah, that was awful. That's just George Lucas being fucking. Yeah. And, the other pick was, is also a CGI character, from Harry Potter, which is Dobby the House Elf.
Oh, I thought Dobby was you.
I fucking hate Dobby and I want to kill him. And it just breaks my heart that, that Toby Jones did the voice of Dobby and he's cool. And that's wrong.
Master Potter is not happy with Dobby.
Oh, that just irritates me. I want to fucking rip his ears off.
I love Dobby. I never even read the books, but I thought he was cute as hell.
Oh, God. I can't explain. Fucking hate him.
He was evil.
I love when he's beating his head into the cabinet.
Oh, Dobby, Dobby, that's a good scene because I like his him getting abused. The whole best scene in Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets is when Jason Isaacs kicks him in the back or something at the end. Best scene ever.
See, that pissed me right off. It's like, I hope he turns around and fries his ass.
I loved seeing that stupid thing get hurt.
What did he give him, a sock?
Yeah, he freed him with a sock.
Dobby is free.
Dobby is free. Yeah, free for me to kick your ass, you little bitch. Fucking annoying.
I did not expect that, Marcy. I'm telling you, you blew me away with that one.
Yeah, well, yeah. I was going to have a third and go with Gollum from Lord of the Rings.
What the
hell? Gollum rocks.
But I think, yeah.
I agree with you on that one, honey. I was hoping more rocks would plunk him in the head throughout the entire movie.
But yeah, annoying CGI characters are a bit of an easy target, but those two annoy me more than Gollum does. And they have ears that I would want to rip off and shove up their ass.
Gollum's ears, good.
Yes, well, they're my picks. So next can be randomly. I'll go back to Bede.
Okay. My okay, my second pick is Sandra Bullock in All About Steve.
Why would you watch that?
I was on a plane coming back from London and there was nothing else on.
That means you watch nothing then.
Exactly.
It was very that means I was already suffering pain and agony, so I might as well watch something that'll just give me the at least it won't be as much painful as agony, but it was.
I haven't seen it, so I can't comment.
And look, yeah, she is the most annoying character ever put on film. She really, she's, it's like the movie should be not be a romantic comedy. It should be a horror film. It's like her character belongs in like Fatal Attraction or something.
Serious. And she was in a red bra. She looked good.
Oh no, she's very annoying. And the worst part is like, everybody at like the first half of the movie hates her, and then by the second half, everybody starts loving her. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you people?
hate her.
Oh, she's so annoying. The movie was terrible too. It's just
I gotta be honest with you though. You piqued my interest. I gotta see how annoying she actually is.
Well, she won a Razzie for it, didn't she?
Oh, she. Yeah. It's not like she just follows this guy. She follows bloody Bradley Cooper around. And like he has, and they sleep with each other. And I'm going to spoil it anyway because nobody should see this movie.
I don't think anybody did.
And she's like, "Oh, I think I love the love of my life. I'm going to track him down all over the country while he's doing news stories." And she does. And he's like, "Get away from me, you freak!" And then she falls down a hole.
Now I really want to see it.
And everybody is like, "Oh, she fell down a hole. We should feel sorry for her." It's like, no, she belongs down in that hole.
I want to see her fall down a hole.
Oh, I know. So do I.
That's actually the funniest bit because you're like, you see Thomas Hayden Jersey and he's doing like this new thing and you see her running at the back of it. All of a sudden, boom, she just falls down this hole.
Is that on YouTube?
It's like, fuck, I hope that character dies.
Oh, she cracked her neck on the way down.
No, she should have gone all the way to hell and it was a small hole. I hated her character. She's okay, so annoying.
I have to see if there's that just that scene of her falling down a hole on YouTube.
Oh, it's got to be up there.
All right. Matches, you can go next for your second one.
Finally. Why, thank you.
The Australians have had their turn.
And the Canadians.
So, he hasn't done number two yet.
Oh, yeah, I haven't. Oh, damn it. Hate for the Canadians.
This is going to be another one. Well, I don't know if you guys would get upset with me as much, but I would think other people would. Molly Ringwald as Claire Standish in Breakfast Club.
Screw you, man.
Okay, I agree with you in a way. Or believe me, if I knew her in high school and I knew girls like her in high school, I wouldn't give them the fucking time of day.
And I think that's why I have to say that is because I knew people like that in high school and they fucking sucked and I would have nothing to do with them. And the fact that Judd Nelson ends up giving her the time of day pissed me off.
I know.
Oh, look at my big trick. I can put lipstick in my boobs and put it on my mouth. I mean... I hated her. I mean, sure, that's hot if you're naked, but if you're dressed, I don't give a shit. And no, yeah, I
get Phoebe really Cates to do it.
Oh, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, so would I.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but she just, the way she talked, the way she acted, she was just that typical rich bitch who got in trouble, you know, finally for the first time, who's probably been doing shit wrong her whole life, but just finally got caught. Somebody actually stood up and, you know, busted her ass for it. Oh, I couldn't stand her in that. And yeah,
who played the other girl? I can't remember the nutty one.
Ally Sheedy.
Ally Sheedy. I'll tell you what, I think she is 10 times better looking than Molly, especially like when she even, you know what, even before she gets like the makeup and her hair kind of pushed back by Molly at toward the end of the movie, I think she was way better looking.
She does like the whole dandruff thing at the start when she gets all the snow out of her hair.
Oh, it's like
for her drawing,
her character is classic. And then like the putting all the what was it, Captain Crunch between two pieces of bread with all the sugar and all that crap. But no, I hear you. I fucking hate her character too, and I love how Judd calls her out so often throughout it.
Mm.
Yeah, but it was that twist at the end that I was just like, oh, no fucking guy in his position would have made that twist unless there was a surefire sex deal. If he could guarantee he got sex out of the deal, a guy would do that. Otherwise, no guy would have made that.
I think he was okay by the end of it. It seemed like she was going for it. So who knows?
Mm. All right, Nick, you can go for your second one now.
Number two, you say?
Number two.
This gets tough because there are so many annoying characters out there. But I am going to have to award number two to... I'm thinking here for a second because I'm trying to decide between two, and I'm probably going to have to go with Robin from Batman Forever. And Batman and Robin. Chris O'Donnell, he did the best he could with the role, and I know the movies are absolute, you know, a complete sham, and they don't even exist in the comic book movie world to real comic fans, but I gotta be honest with you, I can't imagine them creating a stupider movie-created version of Robin than they did in those movies. His character was so annoying, like... When his parents die, right, and Bruce takes him in Batman Forever, he treats Bruce like a piece of shit. He's like, you know, I don't need your help, and, you know, you give a lot of charity, and, you know, what's your problem? He's like a little ungrateful little cunt, and I just hate it. I mean, I know he's dealing with, you know, the stuff, you know, with parents' death and whatnot, but the way he fucking treats people, and, you know, and then he...
Steals the Batmobile.
You know, steals the Batmobile, yeah. And thinks that he's... fucking Batman all of a sudden, and he's kicking the shit out of the glow-in-the-dark gang, and, you know, I'm starting to rant about how shitty the movie is, but everything glows in the dark in that movie, but
yeah, it does.
I thought his character just got worse and worse throughout the movie, and in the end, he was no help to the plot, he was no help to anything, he was just there to show off the Robin nips, and I don't know,
Robin
I just
nips. Thought just,
I mean, I hate the character of Robin from the beginning, but I think he was probably the most annoying comic book character of all time that's ever been committed to film. I don't know if you guys would disagree with that. Or
he was annoying.
I just fucking
he was
him.
Actually, I was tempted to throw him on there. Yeah, he definitely did it. I'm actually a Robin fan. I think Robin can be a great character when written right in a comic,
yes.
But most people can't handle it. And, no, he had that great line when they get to Two-Face's Island, holy rusted metal Batman.
Holy rusted metal Batman.
Yeah, it will never leave my head. It is ingrained and will never go away.
The island is full of holes, you know? Holy!
Yeah.
just genius. Awful. Just awful.
All right. I'd rather skew in jail. He wants to kill Toothface for the whole movie, and now all of a sudden he grows a moral backbone. I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Drop his ass. Anyway. Okay, so that's my number two.
All right, now just do your number one. We'll stick with you for now.
Ooh, number one. Spotlight. Okay, now this was really tough. Now, this was going to be Gollum, I have to admit. But that was... I hate Gollum with a passion. He Yay. Is he is definitely...
He sucks.
I don't think he's cute. No. I don't think he's funny.
No.
I just... Oh, I mean, it was a brilliant performance and things like that, but I just... I can't see how anybody liked this character. Anyway, it's not going to be Gollum, but I'm going to go with number one, Napoleon fucking Dynamite. Never in my life. I remember when that movie came out, I got dragged by three of my friends in high school to go see that because they told me that I was going to piss myself laughing, that, you know, every penny that I spent was going to be worth it. I'm going to get a laugh for every dollar I spent. Which was $11, which didn't make much sense, but anyway. And I swear to you, I was ready to walk out in the first 10 minutes. I can't imagine a person like that functioning in the real world. I cannot imagine it, which made it the stupidest thing. But you guys may disagree, but it was a hard choice to choose number one. I'm sure if I gave it enough time, I'd probably find somebody more annoying, but... And Napoleon Dynamite ranks up there as one of the worst. He's just, his attitude, his voice. I hate John Heder.
Yeah, I don't really like him.
No, his career failed, but Napoleon Dynamite is by far the most annoying character of all time. I can't even.
I think a lot of people would agree with you because I know a lot of people fucking hate that movie and hate him.
All the, like, the vote for Pedro and all that, like. It's like, okay, there are a few little funny bits, but I'm like, this is retarded. I'm like, this is what passes for comedy. And it's just like Nacho Libre was funnier than that.
I hated that movie.
What's that?
I hated Nacho Libre. I couldn't even finish it.
It had its moments. Jack was kind of funny in some parts. But Jack's funny, and John Heder isn't. The only thing he had going for him was talking really weird and saying stupid things. And I just... never bought into it, and it just sucks. Okay, so with Napoleon, it just absolutely drove me nuts. I couldn't believe I actually spent, you know, some of my hard-earned money on it, and I just never in my life have seen one character single-handedly kill an entire film. Like, even within the first 15 minutes, I was done. I couldn't take it anymore. It was not my kind of comedy, and I know there are a lot of people out there who feel the exact same way, so... You know, if I have more time to think about it, I might think of someone a little more annoying. But overall, there's right now at this present time at, you know, midnight, I can't think of anybody else. But Napoleon Dynamite is definitely my number one.
Seeing as we had technical difficulty, we have to kind of just redo this again. But when this kind of wasn't actually recording, I asked the other two guys if they liked the movie. So I'll ask you again so everyone can hear your answer.
I know the answer.
Well, I didn't mind it, but I haven't seen it since it first came out. But, yeah, I just don't really like John Peter that much.
I really liked it, but I haven't seen it since it came out too. But I do thought it was pretty funny, personally, but that's just me.
I actually own it, and I've watched it a good amount of times. It's one of those ones where I'll throw on every once in a while, and I think... it is better on repeat watching than it is that first time, because I think the first time you're going into it thinking you're getting this kick in the gut type humor, just, you know, balls to the wall funny, and it's not that. A lot of the stuff is a little bit more subtle. And watching it over and over, like, there's little things that make me laugh, such as Napoleon getting hit in the face with the steak as he's riding his bike. Anything with Kip has me fucking rolling. The dude's hilarious with his pedophile mustache.
True.
Just shit like that. I don't know why, but the fucking moon boots made me laugh. I think because I was embarrassed when I was a kid and had to wear them. So the fact that he's a teenager doing it, when he gets, like, he has the tater tots stuffed in his fucking pocket, and the dude kicks him and knocks him out. I don't know why, but I felt bad for him. I'm like, oh, his tots just fell on the floor. Like, I'm just a loser. I don't know.
I just want to add one quick thing, if I could. Like, okay, if I hadn't chosen Napoleon Dynamite, have you guys ever seen School Ties?
Yep.
With,
yeah.
Like, Brendan Fraser and all them. Okay, there's a certain kid in that group who they call him Magoo. And he's like this little goofy freckle kid with glasses. And I don't know if you've obviously seen it, so you know the story. You find out that Fraser is a Jew.
Yeah.
And they absolutely treat him like shit afterwards, yep. Right? And then Matt Damon cheats on that history test, and all of them accuse David because he's Jewish. I swear to you, if I could name more than one character as number one, it'd be that whole group.
Yes.
Yeah.
That, accusing Pricks. Him just because he's Jewish, and they're calling him a dirty Jew and, you know, asshole and this and that.
Yeah.
I just want, I'd give anything for a baseball bat to be in that room. that would be my choice, but I just went with one person. But if I had to go with another group, that'd be them. So anyway, yeah, I just had to throw that.
All right.
I'll now call you Bear Jew from now on.
All right.
That's so awesome.
Bede, you can choose your number one.
Okay. Now, this one's going to be it's not really well liked. It's not really all that well known, so it's a bit of an unusual pick, but.
The Golden Bat.
Yes. But my all time most annoying character, or my most hated annoying character of all time, is Deborah Eisenstadt, who played Carol in Oleana.
What the fuck?
What? I have no idea who that is.
No.
Oh my god, you're unexpected.
Like I said, it's an unusual choice because, like, not that many people have seen David Mamet's Oleana. But,
but I'm going to have to look this up.
Searching
now.
For it now.
You said it was an opinion. Yeah, it's on IMDb. Actually, I'll find you the...
There we go, I found the link. Never heard of it.
Yeah, anyways, she...
Ooh, I hate... For 52 today. Sorry.
Well, it's got William H. Macy in it. Okay.
Yeah, it's like it's a movie about... It's a two-character movie about sexual harassment.
Oh, sexy.
From what I heard, because I've never seen the original play, but from what I've heard, it's supposed to be in which you're supposed to both sympathize and hate both the teacher who's accused of sexual harassment and the student who's played by Deborah Eisenstadt, or I can't pronounce her name properly, so I'll just call her Carol because that's her character name.
Okay.
And
Deborah Eisenstadt.
And, like, you're supposed to both sympathize and hate her character too. But the thing is, though, since the teacher character, who's named John, is played by William H. Macy, you can't hate William H. Macy because he's always a likable person.
What does he actually do to her that she says
he's accused of it. Like, he doesn't actually do anything. Like, it's been years since I've seen the movie. But there's probably a synopsis you can read.
I was going to say, does he spank her ass or what?
No, he's just like, you know, because, like, I don't know.
Well, I love the tagline. He said it was a lesson. She said it was sexual harassment. Whichever side you take, you're wrong.
Can we call in sexual harassment panda?
There's the plot summary here. I'll read it out. A two-character movie involving a college professor, John, who's confronted by a female student, Carol, who is failing his course. The two spend a long time talking to each other, during which time John says a few things that can be taken the wrong way. So he just, you know, yeah. After the night the two spend talking, John is slapped with sexual harassment accusation by Carol. After more accusations from Carol, John's career as a teacher begins to fall apart. This forces John with a choice to handle the situation. The results make up for a shattering ending to a movie.
Sounds like Disclosure.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. But
just not as
sexy. Like I was saying before, since like both characters are in the original play, you're supposed to both sympathize and hate the characters at the same time. But the thing is, since I actually sympathize more with the teacher character. And the thing was, the actress who played Carol, she played it so fucking annoying. She was the most annoying character I had ever seen on a movie, and I fucking hate her, and I hope she dies. I know that might sound a little misogynistic, but if you ever see this movie, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
I can't say I want to.
She's probably like Fatal Attraction type death.
She's a horrible, horrible human being, and I hate her.
Well, that's an interesting and very original choice.
I think it's really more how she played it. Like, if it was a better actress, like, I probably would have somewhat sympathized, but it's just how she played it. It was like, there's probably like a trailer or something up on YouTube you can see, but how she played it, it just came off so mousy and annoying and just so blah.
What a bitch.
Bitchy, yeah. It's like, you know, like I'm, and since the teacher character is played by William H. Macy, you kind of sympathize with him more because
Macy, William H. Macy.
Yeah. He's the everyman. You're like, he's always likable. Even if he's playing like a bad character, you always kind of like him. But Carol's just so annoying and I hate her. I hate her. I wanted to die a horrible, horrible death.
That's funny.
Maybe like maybe that was the intent of the movie to really make me hate this character. If it did,
that's probably what it was. Yeah.
It really succeeded at that. Yeah. If you ever see the movie, or if anyone has seen the movie out there that is listening to this right now, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because I've actually have read in past Joe Blow forums of people like bringing her up in characters they've hated or found annoying, and I agree with everything they've said. And actually, I actually have an honorable mention. I forgot to mention this when I did My honorable mention is Martin Lawrence as every character has ever played.
I actually go against that for one role. He's always funny. I'm going to say Bad Boys because he is funny when he's Will Smith. That's it.
Bad Boys and Bad Boys 2 for me. I hate him. I just wish he could piss off.
I wish he'd piss off too, but I think he's funny with Will. I don't ask me why. I think those two are really funny together. But other than that, Martin Lawrence is a waste of fucking air. I agree with you.
I really didn't like. I just have never liked Martin Lawrence in anything. Even the Bad Boys movie, he was just like, anytime he was on screen, I was like, just piss off already and just give me more Will Smith or Taylor Leone, somebody, anything.
That was Michael Bay. That was his genius.
Yeah.
All right. I'll go to me.
And finally.
For now. I think it's still down to me and matches, isn't it? We haven't done our number ones. Okay.
Yep.
I'll go first because I'm a girl. I have a vagina.
Congratulations. Boys have a penis. Girls have a vagina.
That's news to everybody. Okay.
Garden Cop, greatest movie ever.
All right. My pick goes to character from the Day the Earth Stood Still remake, which is one of my most hated movies ever. And the character goes to Will Smith's annoying little shit out of a son, Jaden Smith, playing some annoying little fucking stupid character, and I would have no problems fucking beating the shit out of him.
100% agree. I tell you, that little fucking brat, I don't know how he got through that movie without a bruise on his cheek. I'm not for disciplining kids that way, but he is such a little bastard.
He's a fucking annoying little shit.
No kid is like that.
That movie was fucking so shit, and he just made it that much worse. I was ready to walk out of this movie, but I didn't, and I wish I did, and oh my god. I don't condone abuse against children, but I would just smack the shit out of this kid. And seriously,
I agree with you on that.
He is a terrible actor, and Will Smith should fucking do his son a favor and get him a new fucking career. And I tell you, the Karate Kid remake is probably going to kill me. And I don't even want to think about it. And I mean, I know it's obviously going to end with him being triumphant, but I hope those bullies beat the shit out of him, seriously.
Uh-huh.
I know it's so mean, but fuck off, little shit.
He's good in The Pursuit of Happiness. That's all I was.
Well, I didn't see it, and I don't want to.
No, he's really good. He's actually gives a great performance in that. I think he's just, like, I agree he was annoying, but I think that, like, I don't know, whether it was the character was directed or the character was written, I don't know. It could be a mixture.
That's where I defend him. I defend Jaden in the fact that, like, yeah, he was probably, first off, the movie was directed horribly.
It was terrible. Just every character. He was given such a bad, you know, his character was written just so badly. There wasn't anything he could do, but, you know, it just makes you want to punch him in the head.
Out of his mouth was something to, you know, to insult his mother.
Yeah.
Every word out of his mouth was to insult her or tell, you know, someone that his mother's an idiot or that he misses his dad and he's a little crying bitch. Mm. And like, and I agree with you. Like this kid needed an attitude adjustment. I was really hoping that Keanu was going to administer that.
Oh man, I would have loved to have seen him gone all freaking Neo on him or something.
But to be honest with you, the whole movie,
Was a piece of shit.
Balls anyway. So yeah. It's although I thought bad. Keanu was pretty entertaining. Well,
I mean, he just had to play a blank character. That's such a stretch for him.
Oh, the interrogation is classic.
But you should let me go. You should let me go. What size suit is that? 44 long.
Although I always found Keanu hilarious in Bram Stoker's Dragon. I'm going to kill that boss.
The Carfax Abbey.
Speaking of annoying characters, that's one.
You count are now the owner of this street. Congratulations.
Bastard got Monica Bellucci. I'll never forgive him for it. Twice. What am I kidding? That movie and Matrix Reloaded.
Shit, yeah.
Son of a bitch. Anyway.
Enough about Keanu. I'll throw in another honorable mention. I don't know if anyone's seen this movie. I think I sent it to you, Bede, but I don't know if you actually got to watch it. The annoying bully fat kid from No Retreat, No Surrender. He's one of the most annoying...
I haven't watched it yet, but I will at some point.
He's one of the most annoying little fuckheads in a movie. Like, he's just the ultimate annoying fat kid bully, stereotypical. And seriously, I just wanted to beat him up so bad.
I can't say I've seen it. I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
Oh my God, you have to watch it. It's like the best movie ever. It's very early Van Damme, and he doesn't even speak in it. But that's beside the point. The character's annoying. Of the fat.
Did Van Damme kick the shit out of him?
I wish he did, but instead Van Damme kicks the ass of their lead character's dad, who cries in front of the martial arts school.
Very mean to this boy. I kill you now.
It's all very, very hilarious, but yeah. All right. Now, for matches drum number roll. One.
Da-da-da. Yeah. Drum roll. All right. Okay. So first, I got everyone else did honorable mentions. I have some. I won't even bother with those because they'd be easy ones. But I do have a Lifetime Achievement Award I want to give for my number one. And Lifetime Achievement Award goes to Julia Roberts. I don't know if there is anyone who pisses me off on screen more when they cry than she does. Her lips get all fucking big, succubus-like, and, like, her eyes squint and her face turns red, and, like, oh, my God, she's fucking annoying as hell. And, like,
I agree.
It's a shame. I love the movie The Mexican. I thought The Mexican was a great movie. Every time she's on screen, I want to punch her in the face. Like, it's insane how annoying she is. And so, that's
what they did with her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why couldn't he have done, like, the true romance scene with Patricia Arquette to Julia Roberts and just beat the fuck out of her? Awesome. I couldn't think of any single thing, like, movie that I could set aside with her. All of them were just annoying. So there's my Lifetime Achievement. But for number one, it's not as obscure as Oleana. What the fuck? But
that was the word I was looking for, obscure. I just couldn't think of it.
Yeah. I was trying to think of something, but I don't know what's going on.
It was escaping my head. Great.
No, mine is Ben Stiller as Eddie in The Heartbreak Kid.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
I don't know if I've seen any movie that has made me hate more than that. Like, and I mean, I've sat through, you know, some pretty brutal movies, and that, like, he keeps on making these mistakes, and Ben Stiller always, for me, walks a thin line of annoying and funny. Like, he walks it, and he's very careful, and a lot of times he falls in the annoying, but this was one where Farrelly Brothers just, I didn't find them funny at all. His character was the most unsympathetic character I've ever seen in movies. The whole idea is, you know, he marries this woman and thinks it's perfect, and then she ends up just being a fucking train wreck, and he falls in love while he's down on their honeymoon and things like that. But you notice just this reoccurring trend with him, and there's nothing that makes you like his character. He's just a complete bitch. You want somebody to fucking kick him in the nuts. And, you know, it gets to the point, and I'm ruining it, but I'm really not. It gets to the point in the end where you think he's going to get what he wants, and then he fucking ruins it for himself again. And there's no reason to like the movie, no reason to like the character. He does everything the exact opposite of what you want him to do. It's just shit, and he was crap. Fairley Brothers was crap. Malin Ackerman was well, she might have been good.
She was the best thing about the movie. That's all I can say.
Yeah. And Michelle Monaghan.
Oh yeah, she's hot. Yeah. Well,
Michelle Monaghan is like a dream.
Yeah.
Like, oh my
going
God.
Going back to we had the boob conversation earlier. She's somebody with good boobs in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Great fucking movie. You see her boobs, and she's got quality boobs.
Damn you, Robert Downey Jr.
Yep.
Damn that spider that slipped in there.
Yeah.
But, you know what? I'm a fan of Ben Stiller as well, and I was terrified you were about to say Tropic Thunder. I was like,
oh, no.
Oh, don't you dare. But I totally get what you mean, and I've seen it, and I fucking hated the movie as well. And you're absolutely right. He was just a character with no redeeming qualities whatsoever. Yeah. He begged for punishment, and that's what he got, and you just hate the person he is. And to be honest with you, it's the exact same way in Meet the Parents.
Yeah.
And he plays this character that allows himself to be tortured by this stupid fucking family. I'm telling you, if I were him, I would have put up with it for 5 fucking minutes, and I would have told his dad, go fuck himself. I'm telling you, like, when the brother gives him his jacket and there's pot in the pocket,
yeah.
And the dad finds it, and, you know, he's questioning him, and when he's getting his tuxedo fit, and this is the first movie, and, like, he's playing riddles with him, and I'm like, be straight with me, man. What the fuck are you trying to say? And it's like, and Ben's just sitting there being tortured by this family, like, for being a nurse, a male nurse,
yeah.
Which there's no shame in doing that. Yet he's taking punishment. And I got to be honest with you, I think he takes more punishment in that movie than he does in Heartbreak Kid. But you're absolutely right. He treads pretty badly in that movie, and I can see why.
I think he takes more punishment in Meet the Parents, but he's more deserving of punishment with the way he acts in Heartbreak Kid.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I can see why you chose that one. Yeah.
Well,
I didn't see it because I thought it looked shit. So.
Well, don't see it. Yeah, it is shit.
Mm.
I just saw it from Michelle Monaghan. So. Realistically. Like, and Malin Ackerman. She's hot too, but she's nuts in the movie, so it's not exactly a pretty picture.
Now, if the movie was about those two getting together,
I could see big money there.
Yeah, it would be awesome.
Indeed.
Then again, with famous, like hot chicks, you know, getting together, you know, they don't have the greatest record for being successful. I don't understand why, but like Mulholland Drive and all them.
I fucking love
that one's weird. That movie.
That was what? That movie is weird. And the fact that Laura Herring does not get the, you know, the love and support that she should from that movie just makes me sick.
Yeah.
It's all Naomi Watts. And as great as Naomi Watts is, Laura Herring's better.
Agreed.
Anyway, that's a whole different
podcast. That's a different discussion.
Oh, sorry, Marcy. For a second there.
Yeah, thing is, we've gone completely off topic, but we're going to have
just
to...
Just like my last one.
Yeah, we're going to have to wrap it up because...
cool.
Yeah, we've run a little bit long, but that's okay because there's, you know, 4 of us. So I'll... what do I normally do? Oh, yeah. I say thank you to everybody for joining us for the show.
And we say thank you back.
Yes.
And thank you, definitely.
Yeah. And you're all welcome back, as always. And I'm sure you'll come back again because it's a cool podcast.
Damn straight. We had a great time. It was definitely definitely a lot of cool stuff was covered. And I hope you feel better real soon.
Yeah, unfortunately, definitely. I am quite sick. And that's why I haven't spoken too much because I have a very sore throat. But yeah, anyway, you've all been very awesome guests. And I've been even more awesome. So until next time, I'll catch you all later.
Peace and love.
See everyone.
This fucking guy comes out of nowhere. Kicks our asses.
This would be the guy that looks like Batman.
I didn't say he looked like Batman.
You did, Trey. You said the guy looked like Batman.
I said like a mask and stuff.
And a cape?
Yeah, like Batman.
I never said Batman!